Comic Book Time Machine, episode 28, Sludge, issues 1 through 3, a crossover with the Ultraverse Network. Greetings, time travelers. It's Ben Avery, and I'm here to talk to you about a comic book that is dear to my heart for a number of different reasons. Three reasons, actually. That is the number of different reasons that it is dear to my heart. But let's start with the first one. The first reason is this is a title from the short-lived Ultraverse universe. And that's actually a reason why I'm doing this episode now, is because I'm actually doing this episode as a crossover with another podcast I'm involved in that is the Ultraverse Network, which can be found at ultraversepodcast.com. As you can guess, it is about a podcast about the Ultraverse. And over there at the Ultraverse Network, I'm doing a podcast about The Nightman. The Nightman is a comic series that... actually, it's the first comic series that I actually got in on the ground floor, unless you count Speedball. Speedball, I got that Spider-Man annual that kind of introduced the character, and then I actually started purchasing almost monthly the Speedball series. That's a topic probably for another day, and maybe a topic for no other day. I don't know if I'm ever going to come back to Speedball. Maybe someday. Maybe someday. With Nightman, I was in college. I started reading at issue number one. The Ultraverse universe, was only a couple months old when Nightman number one started, but I stuck with the Nightman and collected that series throughout the run. And then I started getting into other Ultraverse titles. See, what happened was, halfway through the universe's publishing history, Marvel bought Malibu, and Marvel was publishing Malibu's titles, the Ultraverse titles, and started mixing it in with the Marvel Universe, and Black Knight and Juggernaut both came over from the Marvel Universe, and eventually Marvel decided to cancel the line, and they did. What was nice about the way they canceled it is they did give the people who were involved with the Ultraverse, who were still on staff at the time when they were shutting everything down, they gave them a single issue to wrap up the entire universe. And I guess that's probably what I like the most about it, even though not all the series had satisfying conclusions, because of some of the future stuff that they got into with some time travel and that kind of thing. You were able to see the characters as they were going to be, you know, in the future. And then with their final issue, that Future Shock issue, they wrapped up the universe with a nice little bow. A very, very, very tiny, tiny bow. When I say little bow, that's what I mean. But they got to do something with it and give it a little bit of closure. And so I like it that I have in my collection an entire universe of comics from issue one of the first comics they made that first month to that final issue. I don't have all the variants and all that kind of thing, but I do have a copy of each and every title that they published under the Ultraverse banner. So, The Nightman, obviously I'm a fan of because I'm doing a podcast about it, and with The Nightman, I'm doing it so that it's 21 years ago the month that we're in. And so 21 years ago from December of 2014 is December of 1993. And in December of 1993, the Ultraverse did their first Universal crossover. And this is a crossover called Breakthrough, and it included all of the titles. And so that is what's happening over at the Ultraverse Network, is Shag and Dave, they did a podcast about the Breakthrough, and I did coverage about the Nightman's involvement in Breakthrough. We had some other things planned, nothing really panned out with what we had planned. So it's not a very big crossover for podcasting purposes. There's three episodes from two different podcast feeds about the Breakthrough crossover that Malibu did for the Ultraverse. But you know what? I figure, hey, three is better than two, which is better than one. So, hey, three podcast titles that are all covering Breakthrough sounds good to me. So, for the comic book time machine, I'm going to be talking about Sludge. And I'm actually going to talk about issues 1 through 3 of Sludge. Actually, issue 3 is the only issue of Sludge that was a part of Breakthrough. But I'm going to talk about issues 1 through 3 because I think I'm going to cover the entire series. The Sludge was only 12 issues plus an extra, a Christmas episode. I've got Christmas episodes on the brain as I've been watching some special, like, I Love Lucy episodes and that kind of thing recently. Because it is December of 2014, and so there are Christmas things going on. There was a Sludge Christmas issue. And so I'm going to, I think, for, you know, over the next year or so, maybe, cover every once in a while, cover a couple issues of Sludge. Now, the crossover with the Ultraverse Network, that's a big reason why I'm doing this. I'm a fan of the Ultraverse, which is, that's reason number one. Reason number two is another big reason, and that is Steve Gerber. Steve Gerber is the writer and co-creator of Sludge. He created the character, and Aaron Lopestri created the visual, the look behind the design of the character of Sludge. And it's no secret to people who have listened to the Comic Book Time Machine, Steve Gerber is one of my comic book writing, I don't want to call him a mentor because I never actually had any kind of communication with him or any kind of any kind of interaction at all with him. He's someone I actually wish I had a chance to tell him how much he influenced my writing life. But he is someone who, he just, his name on a project is going to be something that makes me want to read it. Toward the end, before he died, he was doing a series for DC about Dr. Fate, which was really interesting. And then he also did a series called Hard Time, which was about a kid who gets sent to prison and how he is kind of dealing with life in prison with you know, all these adults around him. And he had kind of a superpower. Obviously, when we're talking about Steve Gerber, we do have to talk about the two giants in his creative library, and that is Man-Thing and Howard the Duck. And I am an unashamed fan of Howard the Duck. I am an unashamed fan of Man-Thing. I am the guy who has the Man-Thing omnibus that Marvel put out that basically has almost every issue of Man-Thing in the classic years of Marvel. Let's put it that way. There are some things about Man-Thing that have been published since then, but they're not in there. But I really, the reason I like Howard the Duck, the reason I like Man-Thing is because of Steve Gerber. And as I discovered Steve Gerber as a writer, that's why I started buying Howard the Duck. I bought Howard the Duck comic books because I was reading Man-Thing and some other things like that that were written by him. Also some Superman things that he had done dealing with, like the Phantom Zone and General Zod and Bizarro as well. These are things that I was picking up because of his name. And so when I was expanding my Ultraverse horizons, as I was reading Nightman and the universe kind of collapsed on itself after Marvel was dealing with it, I started finding runs of comics on eBay from the Ultraverse, and I thought, well, I can get this one. Well, I can get this one. And they're pretty cheap. Wow, this one's right here. I can get all 20 of these for, you know, $20. This is great. And when I was starting to do that, I realized, oh my goodness, Steve Gerber, I don't know what it was, but I hadn't put two and two together. And so I grabbed Sludge and read it. And then also Exiles was another one that Steve Gerber worked on for the Ultraverse. Now, so there's reason number two why this series, Sludge, is near and dear to my heart. Reason number one, Ultraverse. I'm just a fan of the Ultraverse. Reason number two, Steve Gerber. I'm a huge fan of Steve Gerber. Reason number three, swamp monsters. Now, Sludge technically isn't really a swamp monster, but spiritually, he is a swamp monster. I mean, you just look at him. He's a swamp monster. And I don't know what it is. I love swamp monsters. there's just something about swamp monsters, almost any kind of swamp monster. I like Swamp Thing. I like Man Thing. I collect old horror comics that have those old swamp monsters on the cover. Honestly, I don't know what my problem is, because it's not just things I read. And I should also say, I do seek out swamp monster stories in other mediums. There aren't too many swamp monster stories out there in any medium beyond comic books. Honestly, comic books seems to be where the swamp monster subgenre of the creature horror, or the body horror, honestly, body horror subgenres of horror as a genre, it thrives there. Swamp Thing lasted forever with DC. Man Thing, not quite as long-lived as Swamp Thing, but still a recognizable and used character. I mean, this is a character who was name-checked in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. As we're watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., waiting for them just to mention a name that we can hop onto Google and look it up to see, is it a Marvel character that they're referencing here in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? By the way, I do a podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. called Welcome to Level 7 at WelcomeTo7.com. Welcome to Level7.com. We're waiting for them to name check heroes and villains. And then they name checked Man Thing as Agent Maria Hill is giving her report about how she was testifying on Capitol Hill. And she says, they want to know this. They want to know this. They want to know who or what is a Man Thing. Awesome. Anyway, I've seen swamp creatures in a couple different areas. There's obviously the two Swamp Thing movies, which I kind of like, actually. I would call them a guilty pleasure. They're something that I don't really want to tell people, yeah, I'm a fan of the Swamp Thing movies. I'm not, but I do watch them from time to time. The Man Thing movie, less said about that, the better. I pretty much hate that. Howard the Duck, the movie, I don't mind. Man Thing, the movie, I can't. Ugh. Like I said, less said about that, the better. There's been a couple other movies here and there, and there's actually been a couple episodes, or at least one that I can think of from the Rod Serling series from the 70s, Night Gallery. I think they had a swamp monster in there. Wasn't very good looking, but it was an interesting and decent enough story. I like swamp monsters. And Sludge, it fits into that for me. He looks like a swamp monster. I mean, he is a walking pile of sludge. And that to me, I'm also a fan of like the Creature from the Black Lagoon. That's not a swamp monster to me, even though he, would feel very, very comfortable living in the swamps, as you can see in the sequels to the first original movie. But Sludge, he's a walking heap of slime. Now, walking heaps of slime have also really, they've come into my own writing as well, and I have a swamp monster story that I would love to write someday when I find the right artist who's willing to work on a swamp monster story. I mean, that's not an easy sell, no matter how you look at it, to an artist or to an audience. I have a swamp monster story I'd like to write. I wrote a kid's comic that went along with a animated series called Otto Be Good, and it was all about a swamp monster. I just it seeps its way into my creative mind, and I like swamp monsters. So Sludge fits into that. So that's our three reasons why I am very excited to be talking about issues 1 through 3 of Sludge. Now, we're not just talking about issues 1 through 3 of Sludge. We'll also be talking about the crossover that Sludge was a part of, because this is a part of a crossover with the Ultraverse Network. And so I'll be talking about issues 1 through 3 of Sludge, but also issues 1 and 2 of Breakthrough. Now, the idea behind the Ultraverse is that there was these happenings that have been kind of happening over time that have turned people into heroes. And Breakthrough is a crossover that crossed over every single title of the entire Ultraverse to start answering questions about where did these things come from. For example, a bolt of lightning from who knows where, although from the sky, from the moon, basically, strikes a cable car in San Francisco and gives everyone on it superpowers, and then slams into a guy who's driving his car, and a piece of metal that has been charged by this lightning is thrown into from the trolley into this guy's head. And so you have the Strangers from the trolley. That's a title that, that featured a team of heroes. The Nightman, then, he became a hero as a result of that accident. And you have other things like that happening with some other characters. And so they're trying to figure out what's causing Ultras to be born. Now, there are other characters that aren't Ultras as a result of this kind of power. There's Prototype, which is basically an Iron Man character. And there's Sludge, who is... His origin story, as you find in issue number one, is actually pretty cliche. And so this is, it's interesting because you have some really strong writing in issue number one, but then you also have this cliche origin. Now, we'll get to Breakthrough in just a minute. I know I just started talking about it just now, but we'll get to the actual Breakthrough and what that meant for the universe and what it meant for Sludge. I laugh because what did it mean for Sludge? Well, not much, but we'll get to it. And it's funny because honestly, this crossover, some of the, well, like I said, we'll get into it, but some of the titles are really, really entrenched into the crossover, and others, like there's one of the titles where basically the things that are happening as a result of the Breakthrough title and all the cataclysmic things that are going on, serves to be a momentary distraction for the villain so the good guy can get the drop on them. And then on the other hand, you have like all the other, some of the other titles where they're just like, we are digging into the mythology here. Now, getting into Sludge number one, I do want to say sometimes on the Comic Book Time Machine, we go through beat by beat the entire plot of the comic book, including the ending. For this podcast, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk a little bit about the plot, but I'm not going to give away any of the important plot points or, you know, the endings of the stories or some of the punchlines, I guess, for some of the things that are going on here. Because I really do like this series, and I really do recommend this series. Steve Gerber can be, he can write parody. He can write action. I mean, he got to start doing regular, straight superhero comic book stories, kind of fill-ins for here and there for, like, Mr. Miracle and Metal Men. And then he kind of got going in with Marvel and eventually kind of found his footing with Man-Thing, which he didn't create, but he kind of defined. And then with Howard the Duck, which he did create in the pages of Man-Thing stories. His writing tends to be about something, though. His writing tends to be political or very, very, very opinionated. And he creates characters to poke fun at especially conservatives, which I think is testament to his writing ability. I really appreciate and enjoy his writing, even though sometimes I'm... As a conservative Christian, I'm a target for some of his writing. But it's good. And I appreciate the good writing. And honestly, when you are reading a parody about things that you are a part of, if it's done well, it's going to cause you to think about, okay, so why is this person saying this thing about things that I am a part of or I believe in? But anyway, with Sludge... It's like with this first issue, there's that, like I said, cliched origin story of a monster hero. But it's put against a few different storylines. It's really, really interesting. Like I said, I'm not going to give away the ending of anything here. But with this first issue, there's not a lot that happens that I can talk about without giving away some of the stuff that's going on. Basically, you're going to be able to figure out the end because they have to give some closure to this first issue and make it a complete thing. You've got these parallel storylines, though, and then you have a flashback. You have the one storyline where Sludge is going around and he is trying to find some criminals. You have another storyline, which is following those criminals. They're going around and they're just doing random drive-bys and shooting people in the streets. And then you have another storyline where you have this blowhard, conservative... let's face it. I mean, this is basically Rush Limbaugh, all right? And he is going on and on about how the mayor and the chief of police aren't doing anything about the crime. And he references a police officer who's been killed and the mayor and the chief of police aren't doing anything about it to find out who did it. It's actually, some of the stuff they're saying in here could have been said or written, you know, to reference things that are being said right now in our current political landscape, where you have this kind of idea of who's looking out for the cops, no one, but who's looking out for the regular people, no one. And there's absolutely racial overtones in this as well. It's interesting. But, what happens is you have Sludge going around trying to find the gangbangers who are doing the drive-bys. And he does, before the middle of the book, there's this really nice splash page that Aaron Lepestre does where Sludge is taking down the car of the guys who are doing the drive-by. And they shoot him. He's weak. This guy is a man inside Sludge. He still has a heart. He still has blood. I'm not sure exactly how it works. And he's got powers of healing. He also has a strange power to cause skin to grow when he touches skin. So when someone comes after him with a sword and they're using both hands, he grabs their hands and holds them, and then they grow together. They can't pull them apart. You don't want to know what happens. I mean, it's horrifying what happens when he grabs someone by the head and is touching their face. Now, Man-Thing and Sludge, there's going to be some obvious comparisons. There really shouldn't be. They are two different characters. With Man-Thing, whoever knows fear burns at his touch. So if he touches you and you are afraid of him, and if he was walking towards you, if you are any sort of normal human being and you saw this coming at you, you would be afraid. But Man-Thing doesn't have a personality. Sludge, he does this kind of flesh-melting, flesh-growing thing. In fact, one character describes it as a cancer, where it is cells that are growing and multiplying and causing mouths and noses and eyes to grow over and become misshapen. And they refer to it as a cancer, which is really interesting. I keep saying that word interesting. I really need to stop saying that. But it is interesting when you consider that he is a sludge pile. He is created by the waste found in, well, partially by the waste found in the river. He goes after these gang guys and then there's he leaves them behind and he has a flashback because he's thinking about when he was a cop and this is kind of his job. It's really, I was going to say interesting. It's a nice dichotomy of him as a cop and he is a corrupt cop. He is on the take, but he won't murder for the people who are trying to hire him. They want him to kill another cop. He won't do it. He will look the other way when they pay him. He will tip them off on raids to get extra money, but he will not take someone's life for hire. He's not an assassin. It's interesting that I said it. Rats. Okay, I'm not going to say it. It's that nice dichotomy of him before and him after. Before he is Sludge, he's a cop on the side of angels, or he's supposed to be, but he is also on the take, so he's working for the devil. Afterward, as Sludge, he has no need for money. He has no need to do anything to help people. He's a monster. But he still has a sense of justice. And he's actually, in my opinion, it looks like in these first few issues, he is doing more to help the law than he did as a cop. So you've got this, you know, you have the comic book good and evil. You have the black and white. And then you smudge in the smudged blue of a corrupt cop, and you get Gray. And there's a lot of Gray going on in these Sludge stories. And there's a lot of Gray going on in Steve Gerber's stories to begin with. Now, Steve Gerber's strength lies in telling character stories, stories that are about people. Now, they might be a person who's a parody, and when we get into issue two here of Sludge, the parody has a character, and the parody has a reason for being. Here in issue one, the character we're really following is the cop. We're following Hoag, who becomes Sludge. Now, he chooses not to go after a cop. He chooses not to kill one of his own. He says, I'm not going to kill anyone for you, but I'm really not going to kill a cop for you. And then, of course, he gets shot. He gets murdered. There's some really, really violent splash page of him getting shot up pretty bad. He falls into some chemicals. It starts burning. It's burning him. Every inch of his skin is on fire. There's explosions. There's chemicals. There's bullets. And then they drop him into the river to die, where he mixes in with all of the nastiness of the river. And he's in pain. And so here's where you get the character stuff, though. Hoag, Sludge, unlike Man-Thing, which is just as and a lot of swamp monsters, really, which are just these ambling masses of nastiness, but that tend to be observers, or they tend to be, if they're a part of any kind of action, it's because they appear on a scene, and the characters around them are reacting to this creature that's on the scene. Sludge is a character, though, and it's still the same guy. As he's walking around, though, he's brain damaged. He can't put together a complete thought. He can't string together the right words. And this is, again, Steve Gerber being a wordsmith really, really works here in Sludge. For example, here in issue one, he's talking about one of the punks that he touched their face, and it's his internal dialogue. Dead, suffocated under all that new skin. Painful way to die, I Hoag. Hope. Because his name is Hoag, you know. my head breads, my heart breads, blots, bleats. Then he's thinking about the guys he's just killed. So was it worth the monkey guys, the money? Some people do a lot of things for monkey, huh? It's that kind of thing that it's kind of throughout there. And sometimes it's some very nice, it gives a nice second meaning to what he's actually thinking. Honestly, though, I mean, this kind of concept could get really kind of stupid, but it doesn't. And that's, again, testament to Gerber's ability as a writer, as a wordsmith. And so as he's dealing with his head, as he's dealing with his brain issues, he's also dealing with pain. And this is a lonely and solitary life. It's a painful life. But especially in this first issue, you see it's a monster story. It's horrifying. He is a vigilante monster. Vigilante, I always say that word wrong. But he's a monster who is out there doing good as far as stopping bad, but he's stopping bad pretty extremely. Now, the second issue is, like I said, I said there's the parody part to it. It's kind of a parody of the Punisher and the Batman, where you have this guy who, because of issues from his childhood, becomes an assassin. But it's like the flip side of the anti-hero. He's a villain. He's a gun for hire, and he enjoys killing people because of his pretty awful childhood. He even has his own sports car, though, that drives into this wall that moves away as he's driving in. It has all of it's his Batcave, basically. And he's rich. He's rich because he is a good assassin. He knows what he is doing. And honestly, he enjoys it a little too much. He's been hired to go after Sludge. And why is he hired to go after Sludge? Because Sludge is going after the guys who were involved in his killing. These other cops who were on the take who took him out. And so we have this, you know, they're going to come into conflict very soon. But one of the things, the big conflicts that I see here, it's really a cool conflict, is that the guy he was supposed to kill, the guy that he didn't kill, because Hoag chose not to kill this guy, his name's Quinn, this is what happened to him. He becomes this monster. And so this sacrifice, he sees that the guy that he spared is actually going around as a hired muscle, as a corrupt cop, for the bad guys. He's going around beating up people for extortion money and that kind of thing. And so this is, again, there's this gray area. There's this idea of I sacrificed myself so that this guy could live and do this. Now, then, as he is confronting Quinn, he then is attacked by our assassin. And this is where, again, I don't want to give away too much, but this is where you have the kind of the breakthrough break in. As the guy who has been sent to assassinate Sludge closes in, you then, as you're moving from issue 2 to issue 3, you might say, well, I must have missed something here. What did I miss? Because issue 2 ends with, well, their conflict, and issue 3 starts out with all these crazy people holding Sludge up above their heads. I don't know how they're doing it without their hands getting melted. That's not really addressed here. But then they throw him into the river and chase away the assassin. Well, what happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. One page in Breakthrough number 3. If they were doing a graphic novel of Sludge, which they won't. I know they won't. You know they won't. This is dead. It's 20 years dead, the Ultraverse is. And is that a bad thing? If you're a fan of the Ultraverse, it is. But it exists. And it's fairly accessible, fairly easy to get. But if they were doing a graphic novel, you would have to take this one page out of Breakthrough and stick it in between the final page of issue 2 and the first page of issue 3. So you could see where these crazy people are coming from. See, the crazy people are being caused by the Breakthrough storyline. There's something on the moon that is calling people to the moon. And actually, it turns out they believe that it's actually given people powers to help them to get to the moon. Meanwhile, regular people are going crazy. Some of them are climbing up as high as they can on buildings and then jumping off the top of the building just so they could get up there. They want to get up there. And that's what this crowd of people, they find Sludge, and for whatever reason, they see Sludge and think, oh, it's an ultra. It can help us get up there. And so you miss, if you don't read this one page in Breakthrough, you're going to be a little confused when you go from issue 2 to issue 3. And actually, there is one page in Breakthrough number 2 that also kind of, it takes place right after, I think, the end of issue number 3 from Breakthrough number 2. Is that clear? Issue number 3 ends, and then there's a page in Breakthrough Part 2, which is the conclusion to the Breakthrough crossover. See, what happens is Breakthrough number 1 happens, and then all of the titles that Ultraverse had has the Breakthrough logo actually breaking through the logo of the book. That, you know, so Sludge has Breakthrough smashing through his title on the cover of Sludge number 3. Now, Sludge number 3 has something else I really, really love, and that is it has a couple amphibian creatures that remind me of the creature from the Black Lagoon. They also remind me of the creatures from the Trench in Aquaman in the New 52, but that's another story. And maybe even another podcast. So he sinks down to the bottom of the river, and he just wants to die. He can't die. He thinks he's going to drown. he doesn't need to breathe, so he can't drown. So he just lays down to let himself die. Meanwhile, there's a child who is dressed as a 1920s style gangster. He carries guns. He has a fedora. He's wearing a suit. He looks like he's 12, maybe 13. And he is there. He's investigating Sludge. He realizes that Sludge is in the river. And so he goes and makes a report to a guy called Lord Pumpkin. Yes, this is the first appearance of the Ultraverse's Lord Pumpkin. And it's in this crossover issue with Breakthrough. And again, Breakthrough really doesn't have too much to do with things. Honestly, this issue could have been written so that Sludge just rolled off the dock and into the river after dealing with the assassin. But for all that, it's a crossover with Breakthrough because it has to. And that's really what it comes down to. I think Steve Gerber does a pretty good job of fitting in the crossover elements, but let's face facts. This one was one that was forced upon him, and so it's okay. That's what happens in comics sometimes, is it's a business, and you're working for someone, so you're told what to do. The child makes the report to Lord Pumpkin, so Lord Pumpkin says, hey, let's send the rivermen down there to get him. And this is where we get some of the creatures from the Black Lagoon. They come, and it's a brief fight, but it's a fight. Sludge versus these monsters. They win. They electrocute him, and then they one of them retches a bag, a sack bile, or I don't know what this is, but they pick him up to take him to Lord Pumpkin. And Lord Pumpkin has a green candle within his head. He's got a jack-o'-lantern for a head, and he has this green candle, and it's powerful. It shoots this green energy thing. Sludge gets up and goes after him. He shoots Sludge with it, and Sludge decides, wait a minute, this guy can hurt me. He is going to... This is another one of these little, messed up words after he gets blown away. Son of a boat! Beach! Burn! But he realizes Lord Pumpkin can kill him. And that's exactly what he wants. So he goes after Lord Pumpkin again. Lord Pumpkin realizes this, and so he tries to make a deal with Sludge. If you work for me, if you do some things for me, I'll kill you. And it's kind of cool because I almost said interesting, but I didn't. Because I think basically Sludge figures out, wait a minute, it's the same thing that they were trying to do for me when I was Hogue. They would pay me what I wanted, money, if I would do what they wanted, evil. And so I'm not going to give away the ending here, other than to say in Breakthrough number 2, well, in Sludge number 3, he kind of walks off into the distance. You can almost hear the Lonely Man theme from the Hulk playing. It doesn't. But there's a half page in Breakthrough number 2 where, as he's walking away, he gets attacked by people who still have the moon madness. And they're screaming, kill the Ultra, kill the Ultra, kill it, kill it, kill it. Then towards the end of Breakthrough number 2, after the good guys win Breakthrough number 2's climax, they just stop and leave him. So he goes walking around. He says, cloud's breaking up. Cloud, not crowd. I need to sweep. Sweep, not sleep. It's clever. It's okay. But honestly, if Breakthrough never happened, Sludge, the series, you would never know the difference. Anyhow, this is what Sludge is. And it's the story of a corrupt cop who, in becoming a corrupt human physically, starts to become a more whole human, to become a more moral human. in some ways. I like what Steve Gerber is doing here. There's only 12 issues plus that Christmas issue, like I said. I really, though, this is a series I recommend. If you can find it on eBay, Mile High Comics, My Comic Shop, do it, because I recommend it. Now, I recommend it if you are a fan of Steve Gerber. I recommend it if you are a fan of gray and dark fiction. This is definitely a horror hero, not just like a Punisher vigilante, although there is that, like I said, Punisher-esque character in here in that issue number two. And he's in issue number three as well, briefly. But I do recommend seeking out these stories. I also recommend if you like podcasts about comics, even if they are comics you are not familiar with, check out the Alterverse Network at alterversepodcast.com, which this is a part of that crossover, like I said. There you'll find me talking about Nightman. You'll also find the Irredeemable Shag. You might know him from the Fire and Water podcast. He and Dave Gutierrez host a podcast in that feed that's about general topics about the Alterverse. But I really do think that it's an enjoyable podcast, even if you're not an Alterverse fan. The idea behind what I'm doing with Nightman is, honestly, I want to get people to read Nightman. And so fans of Nightman, yeah, that's great. You can have fun with that and have fun with me as we're talking about Nightman and reminiscing. But I'm also trying to gear it toward people who have never heard of Nightman, because I recognize that the lion's share of podcast listeners out there are either too young to know about the Alterverse, or they, let's be honest, they were old enough to know about the Alterverse but didn't care, because it was just another thing where it was like another Image Comics. Or, I mean, how many different publishers popped up after Image started having its success? A lot. However, the difference with the Alterverse is their gimmick. If Image was all about Image, the Alterverse was all about the writers. They brought in the best comic book writers they could find. Steve Englehart, Steve Gerber, James Robinson, a whole slew of great comic book writing talent worked for the Alterverse. And I'll say it, I've said it before, I'm going to say it right now, because of the Alterverse, it's one of the kind of defining moments in my comic book reading life that fed into my comic book writing aspirations. Without the Alterverse, I probably wouldn't be doing what I am right now, which is writing comic books and having fun doing it and putting food on the table for my family. Speaking of putting food on the table for my family, if you are interested in reading any of my comics, you can go to benavery.com. There is a catalog there where you can order books and I will sign them and send them to you in the mail. You can also find me at Comic Book Time Machine right here in this podcast's website and blog, where we post our episodes and that kind of stuff. You can also find me at welcometolevel7.com, where I podcast about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I want to thank you once again for listening. And like I said, one last time, check out alterversepodcast.com, where you will find the first, best, and only Alterverse-themed podcast out there. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, Godspeed.